In August of 1976, my friend Dave and I took a long trip through Virginia, Maryland, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania, and we stopped and played with the phones. This is probably the longest phone trip I've ever made, and I doubt I will ever get back and narrate all of this trip, but here's one stop in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Fredericksburg, Virginia is a small city surrounded by rural communities, and it's served by a Crossbar 5 office. The phones are prepay, and as you'll hear, at the time this recording was made, local calls are 20 cents. First, I'm just going to put in 2 dimes and let the dial tone time out. In Crossbar offices, you could reset the permanent signal holding trunk by flashing your hook. So what I did there was I flashed on the receiver off hook tone, and it put me back to the high tone. Had I stayed on longer, the recording would have come on again. Now let's just dial a local vacant code.
We have a problem in completing your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator to help you. This is a recording. We're sorry, but we have a problem in completing your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator to help you. This is a recording. We're sorry, but we have a problem in completing your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator to help you. This is a recording. We're sorry, but we have a problem in completing your call as dialed. Please check the number and dial again, or ask your operator to help you. This is a recording.
That was a 7A type announcement machine with its distinctive sound at the end. Sounded like it got stuck the second time, because when it started up we heard the noise of the machine, but then the recording was delayed, so probably the magnetic drum was getting sticky there. Let's dial operator and ask what codes are local.
What exchanges are local calls from here?
What exchange would be 373-371-898-582-786-972-752-659.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You may have noticed that after I dialed 0, the equipment did not wait long enough for me to dial any more digits. This is because as late as 1976, there still was no 0-plus dialing in this area, and that was the operator on a cord board, a regular old-fashioned cord board. The same operator room that handled the inward operator, in fact, although possibly on another side of the room. The ring you heard is the local Fredericksburg ring. Numbers in this office ring that way, and of course when you dial operator, any time an operator is not answered on the trunk, that ring also is heard. This local calling area is a mixture of Bell and independent companies. It's Bell system here in Fredericksburg, C&P Telephone. The 371 and 373 codes are Essex 1 and 3, so I have found out from someone who used to live there. And let's call one of the other Bell System offices in the local area, 582 in Spotsylvania.
The number you're dialing?
582-3311.
582-3311.
Yes.
Not a working number.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's a Bell System Step CDO. We have N3 or N2 carrier, 2600 controlled, between here and there, and you can even hear the 2600 in the background of the connection. You can also tell that the trunk to the operator had a 2600 controlled system of its own, because when she hung up, we heard a muted 2600 cheep like this. Now let's call a working number in Spotsylvania, and this number is obviously somebody's phone who lives pretty far out in the sticks, because of the hum that you can hear in between the rings. And by the way, if the person were to answer, the hum would go down in level quite a bit. It's exaggerated by the fact that the ringing supply is kind of unbalanced. But once the person answers, there's still hum, but it's not as bad as you're hearing in this example. Many of you who have dialed from Crossbar 5 payphones, I'm sure, have noticed that calls from the payphone tend to take an extra delayed time to go through compared to a call from home. So let me take a minute to explain how this call goes through. While we're dialing the number, we're connected to the originating register in our local Crossbar 5 office, and when we dial the last digit, a marker is called in. The marker's job is to select the trunk. The first trunk selected is not to Spotsylvania, as it would be from a home phone. Instead, it's to a coin junctor, and a sender MFs the 7-digit number into the coin junctor. When it's finished MFing, we hear it cut through, like this. And then immediately the coin junctor does this. That's the sound of the coin junctor, which is really just a looping circuit into the same Crossbar 5 office, getting a trunk to Spotsylvania. And now, there's a new sender on the line, dial pulsing the number out. When it's finished dial pulsing, the sender causes a relay to cut us through and drops out. So, from a Crossbar 5 coin phone, a simple local call is actually a two-stage process. The first part of the call is to get you to the coin junctor. The second part is the coin junctor getting you to the office you really want to call. Why did they do it this way? It has to do with coin control equipment. Now, the problem in Crossbar 5 is that coin control has to be associated with whatever outgoing trunk you picked when you first dialed the number. Theoretically, that would mean that every trunk in the local network would have to have its own coin control relays on it, and that could get expensive. But there is a way to avoid this problem. You can send these calls through a coin junctor first, which adds coin control to the call, and then plug into the direct trunks to the various little tribs, which don't have coin control on them, but that's okay. You've gone through a junctor, and it will do the collect or the return at the end of the call. So you can think of the coin junctor as sort of an adapter that goes between your line and the destination trunk, which adds coin control to the connection. By the way, only Crossbar 5 has this problem. Panels and Crossbar 1s have a way of inserting coin control at the district level. Number 1 ESS can switch in coin control anytime it needs it by making a new connection. And step offices have coin control associated with the first selector, so the trunks don't even have to know about it. Anyway, here's another one of those calls which goes through in a similar manner. We're going to call Stafford, the 659 prefix. This exchange was built by a pretty interesting little independent company called the Commonwealth Telephone Company. They're centered in Prince William County, to the north of here, and most of their equipment is common control step, built by Stromberg Carlson. You can hear the Stromberg-type ring on this next call. This is one of those rare independent companies that actually has centralized intercept. And that's always cool to find in an independent, because centralized intercept is pretty much a Bell System thing. Notice on this next call, to the vacant level, that when the operator answers, you hear a unique little Q tone.
Virginia is not in service at this time. If you need assistance, please stay on the line and an operator will answer. This is a recording.
Special operator, what number are you dialing?
659-1832.
1832?
Right.
That's the wrong number for Stafford, Virginia.
Okay, thank you.
Another noteworthy thing about that last call is this. What's unusual about that is that that sort of metallic gonging sound you hear is rarely heard on Crossbar 5. That's more of a Crossbar 1 sound. So, to someone who's heard this stuff all his life, it's very odd to hear that gonginess on top of an obviously Crossbar 5 register sound. Anyway, that's a very interesting little independent, and by the time we recorded it in 1976, Continental had swallowed it up. But the old network was still completely intact. To the northwest of Fredericksburg, there's a town called Chancellor, which has been Continental Telephone for many years. There are two wire centers in that town. One of them is STEP, and the code is 972. The recording in 972 at the time this was made was not working. That was supposed to be a recording that played once and stopped. Let's make another call to 972, the Chancellor Step.
Ah.
While the trunks to Stafford were analog carrier with 2600 control, this 972 Chancellor office is going through on individual cable pairs. Now let's call the other Chancellor Wire Center, which has the code 786. This is actually a different central office.
The number you have reached in Chancellor, Virginia is not in service at this time. If you need assistance, please hang up and dial your operator. This is a recording.
Though you probably wouldn't know it from that call, 786 is a Stromberg-Carlson ESC. That's one of the early electronic switches. Now, it took so long for the second part of that call to go through that clearly Fredericksburg is dial pulsing into the ESC in spite of the fact that ESCs take MF just fine. This would suggest that this may have been a step until very recently. We did go to Chancellor and dial from that ESC, and fortunately we found a phone that could be recorded off of, and it's a pretty cool switch. Gives you a really fast dial tone, and you can hear the outpulsing on local calls. Look for it. It's the Chancellor Stromberg-Carlson ESC tape. So far, everything we've called that has been a tributary has gone through on dial pulse trunks. Well, here, finally, is something that goes through on MF trunks. This is 898, the number 2 ESS that is in the Fredericksburg billing zone, but is a different wire center. In this particular example, the call goes to intercept.
Reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number or try your call again. We're sorry. You've reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number or try your call again.
That call is a little confusing. After we cut through to the trunk to the 2 ESS, it makes a series of ticks like this. That puts us on a 2600 controlled trunk to centralized intercept. We then wait for the recording to get around to the beginning, and in the meantime, there's an ESS ring. Now, I don't know whether that ring is coming from the distant end or whether it's being superimposed by the 2 ESS, but when the recording does get around to the beginning, you can actually hear the trunk go off hook, like this. And then after a few seconds, the recording gets around to talking.
We're sorry.
Well, that's all we recorded from Fredericksburg in August of 1976. Hey folks, I've just remastered this in 2016. This was originally retro-narrated in 1999. In those days, I did not know how to remove hum from tapes very well. I was new at it. I also neglected to properly EQ the raw tape because it came off of Open Reel, which was a copy of the original cassette that got reused. So the EQ was wrong, the hum reduction was full of artifacts, and now it is a lot better. Can't do much about the AVC action on the rings. That's my Vivitar cassette recorder that was really high quality as far as signal to noise, but it was really bad with its AVC. And when the AVC was on, I should have left it off. It made rings go ring. There you go. And I can't really do much about that. But the thing I can do is be more complete on the explanation of the coinjunctor, because I was kind of new at that too. The marker not only selects an available trunk, it also finds the appropriate route through the internal network of the Crossbar 5 switch to connect from the line to the trunk. It arranges for all those crossbar switches to close simultaneously, however many it takes, and I've forgotten how many it takes. And the tick-a-clunk is just relays associated with the outgoing trunk circuit. Now, once you have heard that tick-a-clunk, there is an outgoing trunk circuit there that includes coin control. Now, they don't want to put individual trunks that have coin control on them to each of the tributaries, because that's expensive. So what they do instead is they concentrate all those tributary calls onto the coin junctors, which is a group of outgoing trunks, each of which leads to a location in the part of the switching network of the same crossbar 5 where telephone lines are. But these are not telephone lines, they're just in that part of the network. The reason the two wires of the trunk need to go there is because there's going to be a second connection made to the tributary that you need to reach. So there are actually two connections made for each of these calls. Now the first connection is from the coin phone line we're using to the outgoing trunk that is a coin junctor. And from the point of view of your telephone line, that coin junctor trunk that you get when you first dial the number looks like and acts like an outgoing trunk to another office. When you hear the tick-a-clunk, that coin junctor trunk is picked up, an MF sender is loaded up with the 7-digit number you're calling, waiting for a flash to spill its MFs. But that trunk leads back around to an appearance in the line part of the switching network. There is also an incoming MF register connected across that trunk every time it is first picked up. The incoming register flashes, which is the handshake to tell this sender to spill the MFs out. The register gets the MFs, and that register, associated with the incoming side of the coin junctor, calls the marker. It makes a second marker call. The marker takes the phone number, knows what to do with it, and it makes a connection between that incoming side of the coin junctor that appears where all the phone lines are and the outgoing trunk that you need to whatever tributary you're calling. So that's the second connection through the crossbar network. Once you have that second connection, which is made when you hear that tandem-like sound, it's not exactly the same as the crossbar 5 tandem sound, but it's very similar. When you hear that, you know that the coin junctor has been connected to the destination trunk and a sender has been temporarily put in there to dial out the number you want. Now, if you're calling anything but 898, it's going to be a dial pulse sender. If you're calling 898, it's an MF sender. And when the sending is done, that's when you hear the double tick and you're on the trunk. So each one of these calls to the tributaries is two connections. First one from your coin line to the coin junctor. The second connection is from the coin junctor's re-originating side, in that place where phone lines are, to the outgoing trunk you really want. So that's pretty much all I know about how the coin junctor thing works. I do not know crossbar 5 from the inside, never really spent much time in a crossbar office. I've just been on the outside dialing numbers and listening to the clicks and trying to make sense of them. Well, that's it for this segment.